for the preaching hour, but God stirred in my heart during Sunday school. And I want to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. There's a portion of this that I really want to focus in on just for a few minutes this morning. And then maybe tonight the Lord will let us go the other direction that we wanted to go. I brought a little prop with me I was going to use. And I like to use some props and things along the way. And maybe the Lord will let us do that tonight. So if you can be back tonight, I sure would appreciate that. And look forward to sharing what the Lord has in store for us this evening. But again, I want to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Now we were looking at the mission offering and how that we should be involved in missions giving. And if you'll study out this missions offering, and I certainly didn't do it justice this morning and have the time to deal with it, but the mission offering is to be a faith offering. Wow. It's something that you should give by faith and just trust the Lord to give it through you. It's not something that you take a calculator and sit down and try to calculate how much you can afford to give. You just believe God's going to give it through you. And that's really the details of a faith offering like that. But I started dealing with just a little bit of something this morning during Sunday school, and I want to go back to that and try to finish up that this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I want to begin reading in verse number 10 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 10. In the early part of the chapter, again, Paul's trying to get the church at Corinth to see what God's doing down in the churches of Macedonia. God was bestowing His grace upon those churches in Macedonia. I don't know about you, but I'm wanting God to bestow His grace upon our churches today. Amen. I'd love to see God bestowing His grace upon this church in this day and time. And there's a way that you can get God to do that. Amen. You'll sacrificially do all that you can to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. It will bring the grace of God on your church. Yes, I have seen it firsthand. Now, you may not bust out the seams in number. You may not have to build a new sanctuary. The grace of God's not all about that. The grace of God goes deeper than just numbers in a pew. We cannot function without the help and the good grace of God. Amen. And if you want the grace of God bestowed on your church, you get involved in missions and give sacrificially to the work of God and watch what God does. Amen. It's amazing what God will do. Our little home church up in Robbinsville, North Carolina, we're no bigger than what you are. About the same size. I don't know, sometimes we're a little smaller than what you are. And our church supports somewhere around 58 missionaries. And the grace of God just continually is bestowed. It's amazing to watch what God does. And I give Him glory for it. And I believe it's all because we're doing what we can to get the gospel out. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, beginning verse number 10. I said, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Father, love you so greatly this morning. Lord, we wish we loved you more. Help us to do so. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to be here. Thank you for helping us this morning during Sunday school. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do throughout the rest of the day. I just ask you right now, Lord, if you would just touch me, anoint me afresh, give me liberty to preach. Whatever you do, we'd be very careful to thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and amen. Somewhere back about 1964, our government decided to come up with what we know as an Equal Opportunity Act. You've probably heard that before. It used to be advertised quite often. If you heard a business advertising their their work or something of that nature, a lot of times they would add a tag at the end. Matter of fact, I heard it not too long ago on the radio. I forget what company it was, had an advertisement on the radio, and they ended the advertisement with this, said, "We are an equal opportunity employer." You've probably heard that before, haven't you? What that simply means is that regardless of male or female, regardless of race, regardless of abilities, everybody has the same opportunity to work there in their employment or even to advance in their employment. Equal opportunity. Well, I want to tell you this morning. I'm not trying to be off the wall, but I believe we have an equal opportunity employer in the Lord. Regardless of who you are, your background, or anything else, you have an opportunity to be involved in the work of God. We have a real good CEO. Amen? I believe we're part of the greatest business on the face of the earth. You say, "Preacher, I have trouble looking at the church as a business." Well, let me remind you what Jesus said. He said, "I must be about my Father's business." Amen. We are part of the greatest business on earth. Don't y'all believe so? Amen. Thank God for the work that God has us involved in working for Him. If you don't have a position, get in quickly. Amen. Find something to do for the cause of Christ and for the glory of God. Say, "Preacher, there's nothing for me to do." I'll guarantee you there's something for you to do. Amen. We need more involvement in the work of God. There's more to do around here at this church than you'd ever imagine. Amen. And there's especially more to do around the world for the work of God than you'll ever imagine. Matter of fact, in August, we're planning on a northeastern survey trip. We're hoping that we'll take some young preachers or some young people with us to see the great need in the northeast. Maybe God will stir somebody's heart. Go up there and start a church. Wouldn't that be good? Amen. There's lots to be done in the work of God. But Paul said here in the writings to 2 Corinthians, he said there needs to be an equality amongst the people of God. Paul said it this way: we've got some that are heavily burdened for the cause of Christ, while others are at ease. Now, I believe he's talking to saved folk. Those of us that have been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of us that have a home in heaven waiting on us. He said he believed that there's an inequality in the midst. And how there needs to be some equality. Here's the bottom line. We're all going to get to go to heaven if we've been saved. Isn't that a blessing? But it's a shame that all of that crowd that's going to heaven, some of them are working all they can for the cause of Christ, while some of them's not doing much. Amen or oh me. I don't know how heavily burdened you are, but I'm sure there's room for a bigger burden on your shoulders for the cause of Christ, that you might take some of the burden off some of those that are heavily burdened. Amen. I want to look at a few things real quickly this morning and then we'll be done. First of all, in thinking about equality, I want to say this. There's an equal responsibility across the board. If you're saved, you have a responsibility not only to live a Christian life, but you have a responsibility to do what Christians should be doing. Say, "Preacher, what should we be doing?" We should be involved in getting the gospel out. Sure. Amen. I got news for you. Jesus didn't save you just so you could occupy a place on the pew here at this church. No, there's more to it than that. He didn't save you just so He could be real special to you and pour out all kinds of blessings on you. No, there's something that you need to be doing for the cause of Christ. I am not preaching a works salvation, but I am preaching a salvation that works. Amen. There's no kind of work that can bring salvation. Salvation strictly by grace. Amen. But once you are saved, there ought to be some works attached to it after the fact you've been saved.
Amen. We don't have too many people working for the cause of Christ. Some are heavily burdened. The responsibility is equal. And the responsibility is this. He gave it to us at least 4 different places in the Word of God. In Matthew chapter number 28, verse 19, you don't have to turn to these. I'll mention them quickly. But Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Mark chapter number 16, verses 15 and 16. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And in Luke chapter number 24, beginning in verse number 46, he said, "Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations." Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8. That's when Jesus is fixing to ascend back into heaven. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that account? I'd love to have been there that day, wouldn't you? I mean, He's already been resurrected from the dead. He's lived and dwelt among men. He was seen alive at one time of as many as 500 people. But now He's fixing to ascend back into heaven. And I do believe this was a bodily ascension. Amen. I mean, I believe you could have reached out and touched Him. But He's fixing to ascend back into heaven. And just before He goes, He's got something to say. What do you reckon He's going to say? Must be pretty important, don't you guess? Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8. Here's what He said. "But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and in the uttermost parts of the earth." That's the last thing Jesus spoke verbally with His own lips before He ascended back into heaven. He wants us to take the gospel. Amen. That is your responsibility. Preacher, God hadn't called me to go nowhere. God hadn't called me to be a missionary. I'm not called to Africa. I'm not called to Mexico. How can you tell me that's my responsibility? If you're saved by the good grace of God, you're just as responsible for the Africans as the Shoemaker family or any other family that are missionaries to that continent. You're responsible.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I wish we could get a hold of that and understand that's my responsibility. If I'm saved, I need to be involved in getting the gospel over there. That means one of two things. You've either got to go or give. Amen. There's no way around it. There's no other way. Now, you can pray. I understand that. But you either got to go, pray, or give. It'd be good if we could do all three. Amen. But everybody can't go. But I'm glad we got some that are going. By the way, let me mention this real quickly right here before I go on. We've got fewer going today than we've ever had before. I'm worried about modern missions in 2018. Here, don't you get a hold of this. Most churches have become content in sending their silver instead of their sons. Y'all with me? I mean, we're okay putting a dollar in a mission offering, but we don't want our children and grandchildren going. Who's going to go? We got to have somebody to go. Amen. And the only way we're going to reach the world is go, give, and pray. You better be doing one of them. Amen. Because it's an equal responsibility. Let me hurry. Let me give you this one. If we're going to be given the responsibility to get the gospel to a lost and dying world, then you can rest assured that our great leader, our CEO, if you will, going to make sure we got the resources to do it. Amen. We got more resources today than we've ever had, by the way. We've got the resources to get the job done. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean by the resources?" Well, there's some basics that we've got to have to get the job done. First of all, we've got to have a Bible. Amen. Ain't you glad we got a Bible? God preserved us His Word for 2018, and about everybody I know has got a copy of a Bible. Amen. If you don't, let me know after church, and Brother Nathan and I get together, and we'll get you a copy of the Word of God. Just some simple resources. Amen. We've got the Word of God. We've got the Holy Ghost of God. We ain't going to be able to do nothing without that either. Amen. Let me give you this great resource that we have. And it's one of my favorite. We have the resource of prayer. Amen. I want to ask you a question. You reckon these missionaries pray? I mean, I really believe, y'all help me right here. I believe I'd probably pray more than what I pray right now if I found myself in the jungles of Africa. Y'all help me now. But don't you guess we'd turn it up a little bit? Let me give you a little example. Several years ago, there was a missionary by the name of Robert Moffat. Robert Moffat had been called of God to go to Africa and take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to those Africans. Robert Moffat got to Africa and was overwhelmed with the task at hand. He made this statement. He said, "Every morning I get up and I look out over the horizon." He said, "I see the smoke rise from 1,000 villages that's never heard the name Jesus." My, what a statement. He became so overwhelmed that he decided to go back home and try to recruit some more missionaries to help him get the gospel to Africa. He was from Scotland, so he went back home to Scotland with a heart's desire of finding some more missionaries. He would schedule meetings in churches similar to this, and he would get up before every congregation. He would beg people to help him get the gospel to Africa, and most of the time, he would make that same statement before every congregation. He said, "Every morning I get up, I look out over the horizon, I see the smoke rise from 1,000 villages that's never heard Jesus." Now, this was many years ago, and back in those days, most of the time, the women folk didn't go to the mission field. He needed some young men, so he would try to schedule some meetings where there would be some candidates, some possibilities in the congregation. But however, he showed up to church one evening, I think it might have been a Sunday evening, in a church with a sole purpose of hoping that God would call somebody to go with him and help. But when he got there and he looked over the congregation, all there was women folk. Wasn't no men to be seen in the congregation. He thought about running to another church somewhere close by and just leave that one. But God impressed his heart to go ahead and share it with those women folk. So he got up and shared a message and shared his need. And he made that same statement. He said, "Every morning I get out, I look out over the horizon, I see the smoke rise from 1,000 villages that's never heard Jesus." He made that statement that night. Now, and again, all there was in the congregation was women folk. But little did Brother Moffat know, there was a male figure in the building. There was a young man seated in the organ chamber. Back in those days, they didn't have the electricity and stuff we have. They had to pump air into them old organs so they'd play. His job as a young boy was to pump air into that organ while those women played and sang. He stayed in the organ chamber while the preacher preached and shared his burden. And God took that statement that Brother Moffat made that night, burned it in his heart, and God called that young man to the mission field. He went to Africa. You probably heard of him before. His name was David Livingston. Wonderful missionary. We recently, last year, matter of fact, we went to England and Scotland. I preached a meeting in England, preached a meeting in Scotland, and got to Scotland, and I was looking for something. I was looking for a memorial. I was looking for something that honored David Livingston. That's where he was from. I thought they'd surely be some kind of big recognition. By the way, England and Scotland have grown cold to the things of God, and we're following in their footsteps. Amen. But I was looking and I was looking. Finally found one little memorial to David Livingston. And you know what it said? It said, "David Livingston, explorer." Didn't even recognize him as a missionary. What about that? David Livingston. Oh, the stories that are told. But let me share that. I'm talking about the resources now and the resource of prayer. David Livingston got over there to Africa and found some folk that hated him and did not want him there. Matter of fact, one tribal leader sent a message to David Livingston that he's going to take his life. David Livingston found out the plan of that tribal leader that was going to take his life. They were going to sneak under the cover of darkness one night into the camp of Brother Livingston and what few men he had with him, and they was going to try to take their life that night. David Livingston began to pray. Wouldn't you? Amen. I'd say he's already praying, but I'd say he turned it up that night. David Livingston kept a journal with him. He made an entry every day into his journal. And that evening,
that those savages was going to come in and take his life. He made an entry into his journal that evening. Here's what the entry said. He said, "It is evening now, and I feel much turmoil and fear in the prospect of having all my plans knocked in the head by these savages who are now just outside the camp." He knew they were there. But he goes on to write, he said, "But Jesus said, 'All power is given to me in heaven and earth. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth.'" Here's what he said. He said, "This is the word of a gentleman of most strict and sacred honor." So that's the end of my fear. I feel quite calm now. They said you could tell he was scared when he began to make that entry. The words, the letters was being written by a shaking hand. But when he got to that statement there where he wrote that God said, or Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always," they said the letters started straightening up and they could tell that his hand wasn't shaking no more. Wow. My. The next morning came and nothing happened. They made it through the night and nothing happened. Hang on with me now. A little while later, David Livingstone came face to face with that tribal leader. And by the good grace of God, he led him to the Lord. He accepted Christ as his Savior. Well, a little while later, David Livingstone had to go back home because of some health issues. I forget how many times they said David Livingstone had malaria and other problems like that. Took a toll on his body. He went back home and he was sharing what the Lord was doing in some of his supporting churches. And he went to one supporting church one evening and he shared that story how this savage tribe was going to come in under the cover of darkness to take his life. And he began to explain some things. Well, let me tell you what happened with that encounter between David Livingstone and that tribal leader after he accepted the Lord. David Livingstone asked him a question. He said, "I heard when we first got here y'all didn't like us." He said, "No, we hated you." He said, "I also heard that you was going to try to take our life." He said, "We did." He said, "Can I ask you why you didn't?" Here's what that tribal leader told him. He said, "We showed up one night outside of your camp with the plans of taking your life." He said, "But when we got outside your camp," he said, "there was 47 armed soldiers standing guard with swords drawn." Y'all think this fairy tale if you want to. Help yourself. But I know the God that I serve. That tribal leader said, "I was wanting to ask you about them soldiers." David Livingstone said, "We don't have no soldiers. Matter of fact, we don't even have no swords." The old tribal leader almost got irate with him, thought he's calling him a liar. He said, "I know what I saw." He said, "I counted them myself. There was 47 of them standing guard around your camp." David Livingstone wrote it off as the Lord, and it was. But he got back to one of his supporting churches and told that story, how there was 47 armed guards standing around his camp. He dismissed church that night, and an old boy came up to David Livingstone after the service with a prayer journal in his hand and a tear in his eye. He said, "David Livingstone," he said, "I've got to ask you a question." He said, "What is it?" He said, "That night that tribal leader and his men is going to come in and take your life," he said, "would that have happened to been on the night of January the 14th in the year was 1856? David Livingstone stepped back for a moment and he had to think. He said, "January the 14th. He said, "Yes, that's exactly the night that it was, January the 14th, 1856. That old boy flipped over to a page in his prayer journal and tears began to roll. He said, "Dr. Livingstone, I've got here in my prayer journal that there was 47 men met at church that night to pray specifically for you and your safety." Don't tell me prayer don't work. You're talking about a resource. We have the greatest resource that at our fingertips to use and reach in the world with the gospel. We've got to pray. Amen. And just as that church
that met that night to pray, you have the same opportunity to pray. Just as David Livingston prayed, you have the same opportunity to pray. The responsibility is equal. The resources are equal. Let me give you two more real quickly. I'll be done. If all that other stuff is equal, then I do believe that the rewards will be equal.
Yes, sir.
What do y'all think? I think you understand. I think you know this, but let me remind you. We that are saved are going to the judgment seat of Christ. There's two judgments. Great white throne and the judgment seat of Christ. I will not. Oh, I felt something run up my back. I will not be judged at the great white throne judgment. I hope you won't be. If you're being judged at the great white throne of judgment, that means you died lost without God and you're going to hell. Amen. But I'm going to the judgment seat of Christ because I'm saved. And now get a hold of this. I love saying this. When I get to the judgment seat of Christ, I will not be judged for my sin. You say, preacher, if we're going to be judged, then what in the world are we going to be judged for if it's not our sin? And it's not going to be our sin because, see, my sin's already been judged at Calvary. Amen. Done been took care of way back yonder on an old rugged cross. My sin's already been judged.
Yes, sir.
There won't be one sin brought up at the judgment seat of Christ. Well, that's about running ground right there. Amen. We say, well, what are we going there for then? We're going to give an account for what we've done. I think Jesus made a statement, said, every idle word, we're going to give an account for it. That worries me.
Sure. Yes, sir.
Can you imagine? We'll use David Livingston for an example. Can you imagine when David Livingston's name's called out to judgment seat of Christ? Reckon he's won any crowns? Reckon whether there'll be any rewards? Sacrificing his life, literally sacrificing his body for the cause of Christ. Reckon he's won any crowns? If I've studied my Bible right, I believe there's five different crowns we can win. I hope I win one, don't you?
Sure.
Hope so. I can't imagine. Huh? There's going to be some of them we take a step back. But I believe there's going to be some that we don't know. Some people we've never heard of. What it's going to be like for them. Hope I've got something. Really do. Everybody wants to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's in our songs. We sing about it. I mean, it's well done. Now, I'm going to hear. I got news for you. If you're going to hear well done, you're going to have to do well.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Just because you're saved, I don't think that's a guarantee everybody's going to hear that.
Right.
I want something. I want some rewards, don't you?
Say,
preacher, well, if you get any, what are you going to do with crowns? I got news for you. If we win a crown, we will not parade around heaven showing off all that we've done. Look at my crown. That ain't happening. Y'all with me? Ain't nobody going to be doing that. But what we will do with them, we're going to cast them at the feet of the only one that's worthy to be crowned when we do get there. Amen. I don't want to stand around and watch everybody else casting crowns at his feet. I hope I've got some to cast there myself. Don't you? Just because you live where you live, and in the day you live, and because you're where you're at, and that does not mean that you don't have an opportunity to win a crown and have some rewards when this thing's over.
That's right.
All you got to do is be faithful with just what God wants you to do.
Good.
That'll work. I believe the rewards will be equal. Let me give you one more. Y'all ready? This might get me run off, but we'll see what happens, okay? The responsibility is equal. We're all responsible to get the gospel out. The resources are equal. The rewards will be equal. Well, if all that's equal, then I believe the requirements are equal too.
Yes.
I do. Looking at missions, missionaries, those that you support, let me ask you a question.
Would you just support anybody? Wouldn't you have some requirements? I mean, surely you would just because somebody comes by and says they're a missionary, that don't mean you're going to jump on board with them, would it? Got to be some requirements.
Yes,
amen. Well, let me look at a couple of things that we require from our missionaries. Y'all okay?
Yes, sir.
Come on. I think, first of all, we require them to be faithful.
Yes.
I'm not going to support a missionary that won't be faithful. I mean, I don't want one. Y'all going to have to help me right here. But I don't want one laying in bed on Sunday morning and saying he's a missionary and taking our church's hard-worked, hard-earned money. I want him to be in church somewhere. If it ain't nothing else but meeting in the living room with a handful of people and trying to start a church, I want him doing something, don't you?
Yes, sir.
He ought to be faithful.
Sure.
Well, if we're going to require missionaries to be faithful,
come on,
y'all all right? Then we ought to be faithful. If I find out one won't go to church on a Sunday night or maybe midweek or just laying around not doing nothing, I'm not going to get involved in that. We got some requirements.
Sure.
Well, let me say this. Don't you be the one that brings it up to drop a missionary for not being faithful if you're not faithful. Amen. The requirements should be equal.
Sure.
Well, let me ask you this one. We would require them to be faithful. What about being fruitful? You know, would you require your missionaries to be fruitful? Now, let me clarify something for you. Fruitful ain't all about souls. Okay? I understand that we associate with people getting saved to fruit. Let me throw this out here. They some missionaries in some hard places this morning. And it's... They may be some go a year and not see nobody saved. That old boy in Salem, Massachusetts, he ain't seeing a lot get saved. Amen. So it ain't all about people getting saved. It's more about being faithful. That old boy up there in Salem, he may not win too many. I'm telling you what, that's a great honor. That's a great investment to be involved in that ministry of him proclaiming Christ to a bunch of heathen that's not interested. Amen. At least he's trying. He goes out on a weekly basis, knocks on doors, passes out tracts, preaches in the streets, doing everything he can. He's being fruitful. Amen. We're going to, well, he's a missionary. He's supposed to do that. Oh, come on now. If you're going to require your missionaries to pass out gospel tracts and try to do something for God out there on the field, why shouldn't we do that right here? Y'all with me? Don't you drop a missionary because they're not doing all you think they ought to do when you won't walk across the road, knock on your neighbor's door, and invite them to church. I'm not trying to get rough now, but I'm just saying there needs to be some equality in this. Amen. That's what Paul said. The requirements ought to be equal. We expect them to be faithful. We expect them to be fruitful. Got one more. Y'all all right?
We're good, brother.
I'm a little nervous. This may not go over too good. But I'll give it to you anyway, all right? Be merciful to me, please. I'm just giving you what God gave me. We expect them to be faithful. We expect them to be fruitful. And guess what? We expect them to forfeit. What do you mean, preacher? Give up some things. Do we not? Give you a little example here. Most of them sell their home. Most of them say goodbye to mamas and daddies, mamas and papas, not knowing if they'll ever even get to see them again. One dear missionary family just last week got on the field in Scotland. Just arrived. Just got there. They're there. And the next week, his daddy died. Matter of fact, they're having his funeral tomorrow. You're talking about tough. Preacher, that comes with the territory. They know what they're getting into. Well, let me take it a step further. We expect them to forfeit. When I pastored a good church like this one. And I had some good men, Brother Nathan, in my church. And we's like most other churches. A lot of times we stand out on the porch before service started, fellowshipping a little bit. And it's one Sunday evening. I'm not, y'all help me, I'm a little nervous here. But one Sunday evening, we's having a missionary that night come to church. And so a strange vehicle was pulling in the parking lot. You can almost see them coming, you know it? If it's somebody you hadn't ever seen before, and especially if they got a lot of kids, they probably a missionary. Is that right? There's a strange vehicle pulled in the parking lot that evening. They said, that must be the missionary. And in the car they pulled in the parking lot with was a nice car. It's real nice. Preacher, to be honest, it's nicer than a lot of other vehicles already sitting there. Y'all with me? One of my good men made a statement without thinking. You know what he said? Some of you probably don't know what he said. He looked at the rest of us and he said, if he can afford to drive that, he don't need our support. That's what he said. You know why he said it? We expect them to forfeit.
Sure.
Give up everything. I reckon the mindset is they got to drive clunkers with a bumper dragging or a tailpipe dragging and smoking like, amen. That's the only thing a missionary is supposed to be driving now. Amen. Ain't supposed to have nothing. Amen.
You're preaching truth.
I've seen it.
Yes.
One family, I could say the name and most of you would know him. But the dear missionary family got dropped by church because he was able to take his family on a vacation. Church dropped him, said if he can afford to go on vacation, he don't need our support. He's supposed to give up everything for the cause of Christ. Y'all with me now? Well, if we're going to expect them to forfeit, then why shouldn't it be expected of us on this end to forfeit a little bit? Paul said, I didn't say it, the Holy Ghost inspired Paul to say there needs to be some equality. We got some heavily burdened while others are at ease. They're supposed to give up everything while we get to enjoy the American lifestyle and live the American dream and still get in on their reward. Get to stay at home. Get to enjoy all the conveniences. Brother Keith Shoemaker, I mentioned him during Sunday school. First time we went over and visited him in October, and the average temperature was 106. This last time we went over in December, the average temperature was 96. That's all his children know is Africa. And they don't run no air conditioning. The toilets don't work half the time. Usually ain't no running water. They can't drink the water. There's no Walmarts on every corner. Y'all with me? No satellite dishes on every house. No bass boat in the garages. They just give it up for the cause of Christ. And Brother Nathan, and never complain. You'll not hear one complaint out of them. They're thrilled that they get to do it for Jesus. And they're all about winning one more. Y'all with me this morning?
Amen.
And here we sit back. God, sit back on our padded pews.
Sure.
And pitch a fit because the temperature ain't just right down at the house of God.
Right.
Amen. By the way, there is no just right temperature. It's too cold for some and too hot for others. Amen? And I just can't sit there that way. I understand there's some health reasons and stuff. But I'm telling you, we're spoiled rotten to the core. Y'all with me this morning? And we got some folk a-suffering like we've never suffered for the cause of Christ. And we won't even pass out a gospel tract. God help us, there needs to be some equality. Got some forfeiting everything. While some of us can't forfeit a Coke to put 50 more cent in the offering plate for a missionary. I'm almost wanting to apologize, preacher.
You're running fine, preacher.
I'm not trying to be rough or mean. I'm not after your money. I'm just telling you, there's some people suffering for the cause of Christ. And as Paul said, some are at ease. Paul said there needs to be an equality. We need to get this thing balanced a little bit. So I ask you a question. Are you at ease? Or are you really suffering for the cause of Christ? I'll use what Paul said. Are you heavily burdened for the cause of Christ? I'm going to be safe in saying, and I'm not being judgmental, and I'm certainly not trying to be mean, but most of us are at ease. There's not many in our churches heavily burdened for the gospel's sake. Not many. Paul said under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that thing needs to get balanced a little bit. We need to take some of that burden off of them, roll it over on us. Need some equality. Are you at ease? Heads bowed and eyes closed. I don't know your heart. I know this is a little different today. Mission Sunday. Now, I didn't preach salvation. Maybe you're here this morning, you haven't ever been saved. I did mention that great white throne judgment. If you're here this morning lost and never been saved, I beg you, come to Jesus before it's too late. You do not want to die like that. You do not want to leave this world unsaved. You need to come to Jesus. Whosoever, Romans 10:13, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God will save you today. Maybe there'd be one here this morning say, preacher, I'm not saved. I sure would appreciate it if you'd pray for me. Would you let me pray for you this morning? Just next time I get along with God, I want to pray for you. And there'd be one just slip up a hand anywhere in the house. Preacher, I'm not saved. Please pray for me. Would there be one? Anybody, right quick. Anybody. For those of us that are saved, I got to ask you, are you heavily burdened for the gospel's sake? Or are you at ease? Let me put it this way. Are you one of us that's just got it made and kind of spoiled a little bit in the work of God? That's me, to be honest with you. I'm pretty well at ease. When it comes to gospel's sake, I pray that God would roll more of a burden over on me and help some of these that are heavily burdened. Maybe you hear this morning and say, preacher, that's me. I want you to pray for me. I'm pretty well at ease when it comes to the gospel's sake. And I need some of that burden. How many of you slip up your hand and say, preacher, that's me. Won't you pray? Bless your heart, several of you. Thank you so much for your honesty. I don't know what you need to do, but let's stand to our feet. Maybe you'd come this altar this morning. Ask God to give you a little bit of their burden. Ask God to roll some of that over on you a little bit. And take some of that off of some of them that's really heavily burdened. Maybe you'd come this morning and maybe just call out to God on the behalf of one of those that are heavily burdened. Amazing what a prayer can do. Maybe God's put a missionary on your heart. Maybe there's a family somewhere that's really doing all they can for Christ. Be good for you to just say a little prayer for them. Whisper their name this morning. Lord, I thank you for their sacrifice. I thank you for their efforts. Maybe you'd ask him something like this, Lord. Is there something I could do? Take a little of that burden off him or off that family. Maybe there's a little area I could cut back. Maybe there's something I could forfeit. Maybe I could give a little more money to missions. I'm not after your money. I'm just trying to get you to take some burden off of some of that crowd that sacrificed everything.
Just take a little of that off of them. Just a little relief. We could probably do a lot more than what we are. Maybe it's been a long time since you tried to hand out a gospel tract or witness to somebody. And you get upset because nobody else is. Why not you? How long has it been since you tried to win somebody to God? Paul said there needs to be some equality. Needs to be.
Became a servant of the Lord not many years ago. There was nothing I wouldn't do for Him, no place I wouldn't go. I always served Him faithfully, each day on Him I'd call. To think that I could one day stray made no sense to me at all. But somehow my step has faltered, somehow wavered from my stand. I know I'm still His child, but how?